Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message inspires and empowers you to move forward.
Today we're speaking into the book of John, chapter 11 and verse 1 to 6. John 11, 1 to 6. And then we're going to skip down to verses 38 to 43. John chapter 11 and verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it." And Jesus loved Mary, Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Isn't it interesting that God loved this man who was sick and God loved his family, and yet he chose not to respond to the urgent or to the immediate or to the temporal. God had an eternal plan. And I want to encourage you that no matter what you're facing, even when it feels like God is not answering, even when it feels like God has not come through, I want you to know he's never late. I want you to know he's always on time, but God has always got a greater plan. In verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed," someone shout, "if you believe," "that if you believed, you would see the glory of God." I want to prophesy to somebody today that right now, in the middle of every situation you're facing, might be dark, but I'm telling you, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying, if you only believe, you shall see the glory of God. It may not look like the way that you believe it. It may not look like the way that you hoped it would. It may not look like the way you thought it would. But know this for sure, that God is on the throne, that God is moving on your behalf. If you believe that today, somebody shout, "I'm a believer." Come on, shout, "I'm a believer today. I'm a believer in Christ." So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me." I need someone to know this. God always hears you. He always hears every prayer, every tear that you cry. God always hears you. And then he goes on and he says, Jesus said, "I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." In verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The Bible tells us the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I'm declaring today that God's about to take off some grave clothes and let him and her go in the name of Jesus. If you believe that today, give God a shout, amen. 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 You're preaching so good today. This incredibly important passage of Scripture that occurs in the life of Jesus and this boy named Lazarus, his sister Mary and Martha. And the Bible describes a story where they need a breakthrough. He's not well and he's not getting better. And so they call upon the Lord. The Lord, interestingly, decides not to respond immediately, but the Bible tells us that he waits 4 days. So he waits for 4 days, and when he finally comes along, he's standing in front of the tomb, and he says these words. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And the Bible tells us that it was Martha, the sister of the dead man, who said, "But Lord, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" I want to declare today, the title of my message today is, "I'm a believer." If Jesus is alive in your life, if you are a follower of Christ, you are not a cynic, my friend. You are not a skeptic. You are not a doubter. You are a believer. I'm a believer. One of the lines of one of my favorite songs says, "I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. My God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. Oh, I believe in the name of Jesus." And if you're a believer today, somebody shout, amen. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 15 and verse 6, the Bible tells us about this man named Abram. Abram, the Bible says, believed the Lord and that it was credited to him as righteousness. Abram, because of his faith, became Abraham, the father of many nations. In fact, we call him the father of the faith. In fact, today we are seeds of Abraham, Father Abraham. And what happened was a divine transaction occurred because Abram believed. And because he believed, the Bible says that it was credited to him as righteousness. His belief brought about his righteousness. His belief brought about the salvation of the world. His belief changed things. And I want you to know that what you believe changes everything. I believe that God is for you and not against you. I believe that God calls you to be the head and not the tail. I believe that with God, all things are possible. I wonder what would be possible in your life today if you only believed. Maybe you've been believing God for a breakthrough. Maybe you've been believing God for a new job. Maybe you've been believing God for a home, believing God for the salvation of your family. I want to encourage you, just because you don't see it right here, right now, keep believing. And the Bible promises us that that belief is credited to us as righteousness. And today is part two of our series. I want to encourage you to watch the first series, but I want to continue with the next few points in this series. Point number four, never give weight to the cynics. Never give weight to those who are anti. Never give weight to those who are full of negativity. Don't give away your big dreams to small thinking people. Never give weight to the cynics, but give weight to the voice of God. Give weight to faith. Give weight to the counsel of the Lord around you. Give weight to that. In this passage of scripture, Martha comments and she says, "Lord, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days." To which he responds, "Did I not tell you? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you already that you would see the glory of God?" And he'd already said it to her days earlier. And he said these words, "What you see in front of you is not going to end up in death." And yet here she is, and Lazarus is physically dead. But then he says, "Did I not tell you? I'd already had an answer." Hey, for every problem that you've got, God's already got the solution. For every challenge that you're facing, you can come to God and ask God and believe God to move every mountain in the name of Jesus. And it's amazing to me that the naysayer in this particular story was Lazarus' sister. Sometimes those who are closest to you can be the naysayers. And I want to encourage you, come out of agreement with the naysayers and come into agreement with God's word. Come into agreement with God's purpose for your life. Never give way to the cynics. You'll never see a cynic change the world. You know who you will see change the world? Believers. And that's why I love being part of the church. Did you know that it was because of believers that we have hospitals now? Hospitals weren't started by government. They were started by believers. Believers who acted on the scriptures to take care of the widows, to take care of the orphans. Hospitals around the world, we have them in existence today because of believers. We have universities today because of believers, not because of cynics, not because of doubters, not because of people who said it's someone else's job, but no, believers who believed it was their job to educate, their job to empower. We have universities around the world, not because of cynics, but because of believers. And I want to encourage you today, as a believer, you can see God do great things and change the world in the name of Jesus. And if you believe that today, shout, "I'm a believer." Come on, I'm a believer. Number five, sometimes we got to get rid of the grave clothes to see the glory of God. See, Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus was healed in that moment. A miracle took place in that moment as Lazarus came out. But then the Bible tells us, Jesus says to those people who were standing by the tomb, said, "Take that boy's clothes off. Take those grave clothes off and let him go." Why? Because where you are going, you don't need those grave clothes anymore. In fact, they're going to hold you back. No, you're not in the grave anymore. You're alive. Hey, friend, you're not who you were. You are who God says you are. You're not who your past is your past. You are who God says you are today. And I want to encourage you that every person, every one of us needs to get rid of the grave clothes to see the glory of God. See, one of the greatest things that you could do is you could get engaged in a family group. Family group is about like-minded people coming together in community, building relationships with God, exploring the scriptures together, caring for one another, serving one another. See, that's what happens when you get some friends around you and they begin to challenge some of those old paradigms, some of the old ways of living. They help you to take those grave clothes off in the name of Jesus. I'm grateful for the friends that God has placed around me and the pastors and leaders that God has placed around me, because they're continually helping me to get rid of all the old grave clothes, the old thinking, the old mindsets, the old paradigms, to move forward into what God's called me to. Phil Pringle, who's a respected pastor, he's from New Zealand and just a great man of God, says 10% of God's purpose was in me, 90% was in the people that God brought around me. I want to encourage you. Who's the 90% people around you? Get those 90% people. Get those people who add to your tank. Get those people who encourage you. Get those people around you who, when you leave their presence, you feel like you can change the world. I don't know about you, but I've been around many people who, when I left their presence, I felt like they could change the world and I couldn't change anything. That's not the kind of people you want to be with. You want to be with faith-filled people, believing people, people who are going to stir you and encourage you and push you forward to God's greatest and best purpose for your life. Number six, some things must die in order to see a miracle. My friend, what is it that you've been holding on to that it's time to let go of? What are some things that need to die in order to move forward and see God do the miraculous work that He wants to do in your life? Some of us are waiting on past hopes and waiting on past dreams and even living in past disappointments. But I want to encourage somebody today, you can let those things go. You can let those things die and believe God, that God's got greater things for you. My friend, if there's still breath in your lungs and God isn't finished with you yet, if you can still wake up in the morning and you can get out of your bed, then I want to encourage you, God's got more for you today in the name of Jesus. In June 2005, Rattini and I were just starting a business, had this plan to build this business, and we'd sort of been to the bank, and we'd got a business plan together, and we were just ready to get going, and we'd literally just decided we're going to start this. And then the day that I was about to start it, I got a phone call from my then pastor, Pastor John Cameron. He wanted to meet with me, so we got together, we had a coffee, and he said, "Daniel, I want you to come and join the staff of the church." And I knew that pastoring is what God had called me to do, but I'd made this plan, and it was a good plan, and we'd spent a lot of time investing into this plan. And in that moment, I had to make a decision. So I sat down with my wife and I said, "Darling, what do we do?" And she said, "Well, darling, you'll never come out second putting God first." And so we made the decision, okay, this is a good plan. And we just put it on the side. We just began to serve Jesus. We began to serve Lord in that church and served Him for 10 years. And God did tremendous things. And then now, of course, we now live in Southeast Queensland and now pastor our own church. And I want you to know that giving up that business was the greatest and hardest decision that I ever made. Because if I'd chosen to continue in that, I wouldn't be doing this. And I might have some things and I might have experienced some things, but I'd be empty in my heart. I'd feel unfulfilled, not doing what I know God put me on the planet to do. And I want to encourage you today, friend, pursue what God put you on the planet for. Allow those other things, peripheral things, to drop them to the side and push forward into God's purpose for your life. And number seven, final one. God's miracles are always for the benefit of the people. Jesus says, He prays these words. He says, "Lord, I thank you that you hear me. I know you always hear me." He says, "The only reason I'm saying this is for the benefit of these people. Lazarus, come out." And the Bible tells us that Lazarus was healed. And the faith of many, many people were impacted because of that one miracle. And I want to encourage you today that if God has done a miracle in your life, I want to encourage you to share it. I want to encourage you to proclaim it as loud as you can. Why? Because God's miracles are never for the benefit of the individual. They're always for the benefit of other people. Just a couple of weeks ago, my family and I were in Sydney, and I want to thank you all for praying for my family and I as we buried my 10-year-old nephew who passed suddenly from a heart attack, and he was a 10-year-old boy, and it was just incredibly challenging. And so we were there and we were there to minister to the people and comfort people, and so we did the funeral service, and And as a church family, many of our church family drove to Sydney to be part of that special service where we conducted the funeral service. At the end of that service, we buried him, and there was a lot of tears, but a lot of hope. And I was so encouraged by this couple, the parents of this boy, who demonstrated nothing but hope throughout, who demonstrated nothing but strength throughout, who demonstrated nothing but faith throughout. And throughout the service and throughout even the days preceding that, many people were inspired by their faith in God. And how could something like this so sad happen? And yet while they were saddened, they still had a sense of hope inside of them. At the end of that service, many people came up to them, many people came up to me and began to ask questions about Jesus. They wanted to know about God. Many had never been to church. Many had stopped going to church. And there they were asking questions about Jesus. And then even last night, I received a text message from her saying after the funeral service, so many people that have never been to church or that haven't been to church in years came asking us about Jesus. And they would like to come and hear more of God's word. My heart is broken. This is the mother speaking. But I'm understanding now that this is more than something small, that this is something for the benefit of the people. And I want to encourage you today that no matter what you're facing, every miracle is a benefit to the people. And so I want to encourage you today. You know, the greatest miracle is a relationship with Christ. The greatest miracle is a lost son coming home. The greatest miracle is those who are distant, maybe drifted from God, to say, God, I need you in my life.
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit forwardchurch.com.